Hi, welcome to another inspirational message by Pastor Alex Pappas, Senior Pastor at Oceans Unite Christian Center.
So, obviously right now, there's a major theme going on, and understandably so, because we're in unfamiliar waters. I mean, we've never really experienced in our lifetime anything like this before, where, the entire planet has come to a pretty much standstill. And everybody's kind of just watching to see what is this coronavirus going to do and how is it going to affect the economies of the world and so many different things. Now, we could really get into this and talk about why and what and all that stuff. But I don't think we're going to do that this morning. I think what's really important for us right now is to remember some basic essentials. Number one, faith, not fear. We have faith, we trust, we don't fear. Amen. I think over the last couple of weeks, most of you have been bombarded with that concept, and it's good. It's absolutely good. Every encouraging word, every encouraging scripture, every promise that we see in the word is wonderful, and I'm so thankful for it because it does strengthen us, it encourages us, it empowers us, it equips us to continue to go forward, to continue to seek the Lord even more. So be encouraged, be of good courage, be strengthened, and probably this evening, I'm going to go into another psalm. We'll see as the Lord leads. I have something in mind, but it may change. So we'll see what happens with that for tonight. But this morning, what I want to do is, what do we do with everything that is coming at us right now? In the sense of, we know we mustn't fear. We know we must have faith. We know we need to claim God's word. But what can we do? Because I really feel right now as the church, as the body of Christ, it's time for us to step forward with what God has given us and use it. Can you say amen? So I think it's important right now for us to actually take it and step out and actually use our faith. So God has given us faith. He has not given us fear. God's encouraged us. God's strengthened us. He's given us promises. Now we need to do something with that. And so I want to go into a couple of stories in the Bible, but I'm going to specifically be sticking with one in particular. I'm going to be talking to you this morning about Daniel. Now, if you understand the story of Daniel, you'll know that he was living at a time under very, very an oppressed time for the children of Israel. But I want to just share with you a little bit about his life. In Daniel 1, where they say that Daniel was probably around the age of 17 years old. So at 17 odd years old, Daniel did this. I want you to say to the young people out there, don't think that because you're 17, 16, 15, that you can't participate and make a difference. Daniel, at around about the age of 17, was used by God so powerfully. In fact, this is what it says in verse number 8. Daniel 1, verse number 8. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's delicacies, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested the chief of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Daniel had made a decision. He'd purposed in his heart at a young age to separate himself and be distant and separate from the world. He'd made a choice that he was going to live dedicated, consecrated. And one of the things he does, which is so powerful, is we see that Daniel actually decides that he's going to stand in the gap. He's going to stand in the gap. He's going to pray. He's going to make a difference. Church, right now, when everything is going on around us, as the body of Christ, remember, we are His representatives right now on the earth. We are His body. In other words, if people want to see Him, they're going to see Him in you. With that in mind, knowing that we are His body active right now on this earth in a crisis, what should we do? We also need to stand in the gap. The Bible says this, that the battle is not against flesh and blood. A virus might be a scientific thing. But what I want you to understand is that no matter how we look at it, there are spiritual forces behind this. And the way to combat it is, yes, with science and all that stuff. And we pray for all of that so that God will answer our prayers. But the battle is not in that realm. The battle is in the realm of the spirit. So that's where we have to fight. Daniel understood this from a young age. He set his heart. He'd made a decision that he was going to see God with everything inside of him. Now, I want you to kind of put this into perspective. Try and understand. You know, and I've left a lot of this out. I was going to share a lot more from here, but because of time, and I don't want my messages right now to be too long. I want to kind of just come and give you something powerful and something that will spiritually encourage you and strengthen you. But I want you to put this into perspective. Daniel has done this, made a decision to seek God. He begins to search the scriptures like never before, trying to understand what is God saying now. Where are we in God's timeline right now? You'll see that he studies the book of Jeremiah intensely, begins to get revelation, and then begins to see and actually begins to write down prophetic things that are just mind-blowing. In fact, many of what is still to come, Daniel saw in visions, prophesied about, and wrote down. So he, at a young age, begins to have these encounters. Now, after this, Daniel gets challenged time and time again. First, we see, you know, and I'm not necessarily saying this is in order, but Daniel's friends get thrown in the fire. And we know that story that, you know, when they get thrown in the fire, there's the fourth man in the fire. You see, every challenge, every situation, Daniel continues to do the same thing. Nowhere in Scripture do we see Daniel say, well, I'm giving up now. He continues, even when his friends go in the fire, even when he gets thrown in the lion's den. I wrote this week on Facebook, you know, sometimes we'll be in the lion's den, but God will protect us. So sometimes when we're surrounded by circumstances like this, we need to understand that God will protect us. Sometimes you'll have to go into the fire, but you need to know that the fourth man is with you in the fire. You know, I have to say, these new lights, like I see my spit flying. So I hope you can't see it online. You know, I feel really bad now because often I preach right in the front. And I preach, and especially for some reason, this has happened to Maria more than anybody. I'll be like preaching and going crazy, and then the spit's just flying, and that's hitting her. And I'm like, you know, but now with social distancing, I'm trying to stay on the platform for the four of them that are sitting in the front. Amen. So my spit will not go more than 6 feet. Amen. So you'll be fine. Amen. So we know that Daniel has been through all these different things. And consistently in the scriptures, you'll see how he begins to pray, how he begins to seek God. And what I want to show you, if we go to Daniel 9, verse 2, I want to show you. Now, he's obviously a lot older, but he still has that same attitude of seeking God, that same attitude of crying out for the deliverance of the children of Israel, crying out that God would answer his prayers. And look at what it says, Daniel 9, verse number 2. In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by the books the number of years specified by the word of the Lord through Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years of the desolation of Jerusalem. Then look at what it says. Then I set my face towards the Lord. Now, this is powerful because I want you to see he gets understanding. And as he gets understanding, with his understanding, now he makes a decision to stand in the gap. Now he makes a decision to pray like never before. And the Bible says in verse number 3, then I set my face toward the Lord God to make request by prayer and supplications with fasting, sackcloth and ashes. Now we know that Daniel, before this, is interpreting dreams and having visions, and he's getting the word of the Lord regarding the future, and he's busy showing him all kinds of things. He doesn't at this point go, well, you know, that's really awesome, God. Thank you so much for sharing all of that with me. I'm just going to lie on the beach in Babylon. No, he doesn't do that. What he does with it, now that God's beginning to show him things, now that God's beginning to reveal things to him. And let me say this to you. You know, church, what is coming. Whether we're at the beginning of it, the middle of it, or we haven't even begun. I want you to know that we already know what's coming. Whether, as I say, whether it's now or in 6 years, or if this, what we're going through right now, is to prepare the church with loud warning bells. Listen, something is coming, church. You need to be prepared. You need to be prepared for what's coming. And because you know what's coming, guess what? It's time to pray. It's time to stand in the gap. It's time to be prepared. It's time to stand and pray for those that need prayer, including ourselves. So we see that he does this. He sets his face to seek the Lord. And he prays and he prays. And he says this. Look at this. In verse number 4. He says, and I prayed to the Lord God and made confession and said, O Lord, great and awesome God, who keeps his covenant with mercy with those who love him and with those who keep his commandments. We have sinned and committed iniquity. We have done wickedly and rebelled, even by departing from your precepts and your judgments. Neither have we heeded your servants, the prophets, who spoke in your name to our kings and princes, to our fathers, and to all the people of the land. So we see that he's crying out to God. He's praying for the repentance of a nation. And we're going to talk a little bit about this later on, because there's a lot of people out there that are saying that the scripture in 2 Chronicles 7:14 does not apply to us. But it's very clear, even in this scripture, that when there is a crisis, when something is going wrong, the church, the body of Christ, the children of Israel, those who represent God, are the ones that would have to stand in the gap. They are the ones that would have to pray for deliverance. They are the ones who carry his breath. Listen, as the body of Christ, you carry the ruach of God. You carry the breath of God in you. When you speak, you have authority. When you speak and you confess and you pray and you seek his face, you are defying what we see with our eyes on this earth. And you have power. Don't you have power? You have power. We have power. We have power to trample on serpents and scorpions. We have power to trample on serpents and scorpions and all the power of the enemy. Authority over that. Now, Daniel chapter number 10. Watch this. Daniel, they say, was probably around 85 years old when this takes place. It says this. Verse number 2, Daniel 10, verse number 2. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. In other words, for 3 weeks, he went into a fast. He went into prayer. He went and he separated himself. Listen, fasting is like mourning. Amen. But I want you to understand that when he does it, he takes it very seriously and he's crying out. He's crying out for the nation of Israel. He's crying out for the people of God. He's crying out for the evil and the wickedness that's taking place all over the planet. He's crying out for deliverance from this. And so we see him. He begins to cry. Now, he talks about his fast. Let's read it real quick. I ate no pleasant food. No meat or wine came into my mouth, nor did I anoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. Now, on the 24th day of the first month, as I was by the side of the great river, that is the Tigris, I lifted my eyes and looked. Now watch this. And behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose waist was girded with gold of upaz. His body was like beryl and his face like the appearance of lightning. His eyes like torches of fire. His arms and feet like burnished bronze in color. And the sound of his words was like the voice of a multitude. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision. For the men who were with me did not see the vision, but a great terror fell upon them, so that they fled to hide themselves. Can you imagine? This is incredible. Therefore, I was left alone, and I saw this great vision, and no strength remained in me, for my vigor was turned to frailty in me. And I retained no strength, yet I heard the sound of his words. And while I heard the sound of his words, I was in a deep sleep on my face, with my face to the ground. Suddenly a hand touched me, which made me tremble on my knees and on my palms of my hands. And he said to me, "Oh Daniel, man greatly beloved." Let me start by saying this. When you will stand in the gap, the Bible says that there's no greater love than this, than to lay your life down for your friends. We often think that Jesus only laid his life down when he went to the cross. That's not true. Jesus laid his life down by living the way that he did. That's where it started. You also lay your life down for your friends when you will pray for your doctors and nurses, when you will pray for your neighbors, when you cry out to God for the deliverance and salvation of the lost and the dying, when we pray for those who are sick in the hospital and we cry out for God to encounter them and to touch them and to heal them and deliver them. That is also a type of standing in the gap. That is a type of laying your life down. Because you choose to give your time for others, towards others. That's how Jesus lived his entire life. Jesus' entire life was one of true dedication and commitment to the vision, to the plan that God had. I did not come to do my own will, but to do the will of my Father who sent me. Jesus had one plan to save all of mankind. Now you're his body on the earth and there's a crisis on the planet. What do you think we are called to do, church? We can't necessarily do a lot of things in the natural, but there's one place that we can go. And that's the place we've been given dominion and authority. That place is in the Spirit. And you can see that when you go to those places, heavenly places, when you begin to do battle in that realm, something will happen. You may not see it, you may not even hear it, but it's busy taking place that there are wars in the heavenlies. And your prayers go up before God. And let me tell you, when a church, when a people, when a nation begins to cry out, God cannot turn his ear, he hears. He hears it. It's like a fragrance. It's like a scent that comes up before him. That humbling, that submission, that repentance, that desire that of people when they turn to God, when they turn from their wickedness. And listen, we can say what we like, but you need to understand something. The world has turned away from God. We don't know how long we have, whether God's coming now in a few years or whether it's 700 years. We don't know. But what we do know is that every one of us, our days are numbered. What will you do with the time you have left? Take stock, church. Take stock of your loved ones. Take stock of your family. And in a time like this, we start in ourselves. We look at ourselves. Daniel would go before God and he would cry out to God and he would repent. Probably had the least to repent about, but he would cry out and apologize to the Lord for sins, his thoughts, whatever, and probably the nation as well. We know that in even in our nation, in the United States, there's been all kinds of abominations and all kinds of evil. And so we cry out to God to forgive this land. And he doesn't say the world must repent. He says we must repent. He talks to us, the church. We must cry out for repentance. Amen. All right, verse number 11. And he said to me, O Daniel, man greatly beloved, you will be one that is beloved by God greatly when you stand in the gap for others. Understand the words that I speak to you and stand upright. For I have now been sent to you. While he was speaking this word to me, I stood trembling. Can you imagine when the presence of God and an angel of the Lord is standing in your midst and the power of God is present because you've pressed through? You see, in my heart, when I've had moments like this where I've been interceding and crying out to God, it's almost like you move out of this dimension. And while you're praying, it's like you go into this heavenly dimension, and it's like you're not in our mortal bodies, we're not created for that, and the atmosphere changes. Man, I'm jealous of Daniel. I stood trembling. Then he said to me, do not fear, Daniel. For from the first day, in other words, when you felt like nothing was happening, when you felt like I wasn't hearing you, when you felt like there was no response, we heard you, Daniel. Church, I want you to know that when you set your heart to seek the Lord, when we cry out to him on behalf of our nation, our city, on behalf of our president, on behalf of the planet, as we cry out to him, I want you to know that he hears you. From the first moment you make a decision to do it, he hears you. Jay Mike is crying amen with all his heart, guys. Amen. Thank you, Mike. And then he said to me, verse 12, do not fear, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come because of your words. And then he shows him what goes on in the realm of the spirit while he's praying. But the prince is short for principality, of the kingdom of Persia, withstood me 21 days. And behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me. For I had been left alone there with the kings of Persia. And this is all spiritual now. Now I have come to make you understand that what will happen to your people in the latter days. For the vision refers to many days yet to come. And he shares all of this with him. And at the end, he basically says to him, I just want to say this, I don't want to read it all. At the end, he basically says to him, and I'm going to leave you now. In verse 20, he says, verse number 20, then he said, do you know why I came to you? And now I must return to fight with the prince of Persia. And when I have gone forth, indeed the prince of Greece will come. In other words, the spiritual battle continues. Yes, Jesus overcame 100%, defeated all principalities. But what happened when he did that was he gave us the right to be empowered. So that now we also can fight and have authority over those forces. And we as his body on earth can take dominion over what the enemy has tried to steal from us. And right now, with what's going on the planet right now, it's the church's responsibility to cry out. To cry out on behalf of the people on this planet. We have to cry. There's no one else that has the answer. The church has the answer. It's like Pastor Harold says. The future of a nation are on the lips of a praying church. Now, I want to read to you out of 2 Chronicles. Let's go there real quick because I want to show you. There have been people that have been saying this does not apply. It applies. It applies 100%. The background to 2 Chronicles 7 is Solomon has built the temple. And they've consecrated and it's beautiful and everything. And God comes to him and begins to give him promises and begins to speak to him. And look at what he says in verse number 12. Then the Lord appeared to Solomon. 2 Chronicles 7, verse number 12. Then the Lord appealed to Solomon by night and said to him, I have heard your prayer and I have chosen this place for myself as a house of sacrifice. In other words, God has accepted this temple. He's going to take it. Now look at what he says here because this is so important. When I shut up heaven and there is no rain, or command the locusts to devour the land, or send pestilences among my people. In other words, when you see these things, the heavens shut up, when you see there's no rain, when you see pestilences, when you see locusts, when you see viruses, you have a responsibility. The people, my people, have a responsibility. Listen, it doesn't matter if we're not in that temple. Jesus has already paid, so we have access to the King of Glory. We can go straight to God because Jesus was the one who the veil was torn, and now we have access. In fact, we are the temple now. But let me tell you something, that there can be a moment where the people turn from God and they turn to their own ways. And guess what? It requires us to turn back to Him. Nothing has changed from that point of view. So it fully applies. Verse number 14, and this is the verse that we know so well. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sins and I will heal their land. I want you to see it real quick. My people, who are his people now? You are his people. You are his people. What does he say? We need to humble ourselves. We need to get into a posture. We need to change our posture. We need to get into a posture like Daniel did. When Daniel humbled himself and he went before the Lord. Now, Daniel chose to do a fast. Listen, we're going to do our fast the way that we want. But if you don't, that's fine. Just do it in prayer. Just begin to cry out to him. Church, humble yourself and begin to pray. Begin to seek God. How does it start? We first, as the body of Christ, we need to seek his face. We need to pray. And we need to turn from our wicked ways. We need to turn. There are many things that the church as a whole has done wrong. Even now, in the midst of this stuff, we're all pointing fingers at each other. This church shouldn't be doing this, and this one shouldn't be doing that, and that one mustn't have a service, and this must have a... Just shut up, man. And humble yourself. It's not time for us to do that anymore. Right now, we have one thing on our minds. Lord, hear our prayer. Hear our cry. Father, in the midst of this thing where people are dying and there's fear in the world and the enemy wants to cripple our economy, Father, we cry out to you right now in the mighty name of Jesus. We humble ourselves, Lord, because within ourselves we can do nothing. But Father, as you have said in your word, that there are spiritual blessings that have already been made available to us in heavenly places. So when we humble ourselves, when we seek your face, when we turn from our wicked ways, your word declares that you will hear from heaven, that you will forgive our sins. And Father, I thank you for the next part of this verse that says that you will heal our land. I pray right now in the name of Jesus for our nation, the United States of America. Father, hear our cry in the midst of the numbers going up in this coronavirus. Let us not look, let us not feel, let us not worry what we see with our eyes, but let us hear from heaven like Daniel, who sought the Lord and heard from heaven what was to come. And even in the midst of that, he cried out to you, Father, and said, let it be, Lord, that you will deliver us. Let it be that you will take us from this plague. Let it be, Lord, that you will save our nation. The nations of this world, I pray for them now. Father, the nations that have been heavily impacted, for Italy and for Spain, we pray for them. For China, we pray, Lord. We pray for all the nations. I think of South Africa, where my family is. I lift them up to you, Father, in the name of Jesus. Every nation, the South American nations, the nations in Europe, we lift them up to you now. Father, we cry out as the church, and I pray, Lord, that many will come before you now, not arrogantly trying to exegize everything and get all clever, but rather, Father, let's humble ourselves and come before you, because right now, Lord, we are desperate for you. We are desperate that you will hear our cry, that you will hear our plea, and that you will answer. That you will answer, Lord, because in you we have hope. In you we have peace. Strengthen them, Lord, as they watch right now in their homes. Strengthen them, Holy Spirit, right now. Strengthen them, Holy Spirit. Give us the spirit of might, of boldness, of courage. Like you said to Joshua, only be strong and courageous, because you are with us. And we, Father, we are on your side. We're on your side, not our agenda, but your agenda. But we ask, Lord, that you would show mercy to this earth, to us, to the church. Father, the church in this nation, the nations of this world, we humble ourselves. Father, today we're here, tomorrow we're gone. But you are the same. And your mercy and your love endures forever. So we give you thanks and we give you praise. I pray for everyone watching. Peace to you now. Peace, not as the world gives it, but as He gives it. Right now, in the Holy Spirit, receive it now. I thank you, Father, that we will put our faith into action and we will seek you like never before. We love you. We honor you and we praise you. Now I pray that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that the love of the Father and the fellowship with the Spirit be with everyone watching. Everyone, Father. For right now we are one body. And so we give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you guys. Thank you so much for tuning in. Don't forget, tonight we'll be back here at 6 p.m. Eastern time. And we just love you guys. Man, I wish you were here with us so we could give you all a big hug. But God bless you. Have a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful Sunday with your family. Go into the backyard and run around a few times and just be at peace, be safe, be wise. And let the peace of God strengthen you and the joy of the Lord be your strength in this time. In Jesus' name, God bless you. We love you.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching. For more teaching like this and other material, please visit our website at www.oceansunite.com.